Hey, we're going to have some amazing stories tonight, and even if you're a lad in the house, I've heard a few of these at the services this morning. They're incredible, and you can really learn about the heart of God from some of these stories from these people who are going to share the stage with me tonight. So I'd love to welcome our first one. Can we welcome Trish Hartwig and Chloe Townsend to the platform, please? Welcome, ladies. Come and have a seat. Now, this morning, there was three of you on the couch, as we had Trish's mum, Rita, here as well. And her story was incredible. I hadn't heard it before. I hadn't heard about the spiritual legacy that is in your family. So, Trish, can you tell us about that? With Rita not here to share her story, can you tell us about the spiritual legacy that is in your family?
So, mum got saved when she was 14, and dad when he was 22, Yeah, so.
And how old is she now?
Mum is now 80.
Yeah.
So from my life, we have always been involved in church. Even when we were in a traditional denominational church, we always went every Sunday. And then when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, that wasn't accepted in that church. So we all decided to leave. And Tim McDonald's dad was with us. And so we all joined a church, and Tim McDonald's dad was our pastor. And that's how that all changed. So because we were in the beginnings of all of that, all I ever know from the age of about eight was starting that church. And mum and dad were in leadership. So every week was in church setting up, being involved, not just attended. It was always massively being involved in that and making that all happen.
And was that easy all the time? I'm sure there's busy seasons, there's hard seasons. How did you prioritize that? Because we all have busy things. There's sport on Sunday now. How did you prioritize being in the house of God every week? And what has that set up in your family?
I wasn't allowed.
Yeah, right.
Flat out. So church was, you know, there was a lot of different concepts back then. If I was, you know, if I had my turn, I would probably have done things a little bit differently. But yeah, the first time I was ever chosen to be in a hockey team, for the state or something. And I remember the huge embarrassment that I wasn't allowed to go because it was on Sunday and church was the priority. And I just went to the car and hid because I was so embarrassed. But it was things like that, like, yes, I would do it different, but it just laid the foundation in my life that church and God is the priority. And so I knew no different. Church was our world. It's just what we did.
And now that you are a mum, how have you implemented the exact same strategies on your kids? Have you told me if you don't get church, you're in trouble? Or how is that translated into how you've done life?
So because both Simon, my husband, and I, we grew up in different states, but the way that we were raised was pretty well exactly the same. So we joined with the same core belief system, which was just brilliant. And then when the kids came along, we had the view, well, this is our world, and the kids just come into that world.
Right.
We didn't change our life and our habits and our commitments because of the kids. I just got up earlier to feed the baby before we came to church. And that was including being in creative too. So the kids knew, they came to church early and just did it.
Yeah. Chloe, from your perspective then?
She was in choir when she was two.
Oh, yeah.
At one of the conferences, she just wanted to be on the stage. Front row of choir over here was little Chloe.
Chloe, from the other end of that perspective now, did you feel like you were dragged along to everything? Did you miss out on things as a kid?
I think reflecting now, I don't think there was many problems with it. I think because I saw the way that mum and dad demonstrated being in church, it was never a, alrighty kids, let's go again. It was just like, yep, wake up, it's 7 a.m., let's go. There was never a time where it was like, oh, this is really hard. Like, there may have been behind closed doors, but my brother and I never saw that side. And so I think it was always demonstrated to us really well that it was what you did. There was never a time when you know, it was like, internally there might have been hard things, but it was just you go, you put up with it, you just be consistent to your yes, to what you've committed to, and you just walk that out.
Yeah, that's great. And now you are on staff here at City Point in a pastoral role, and we're very excited to have you in that as well. What do you think from your mum's input into your life has brought you to this point? Do you think it's consistency, the love from them? What can you attribute to mum that has brought you to this place you are in your life now?
I definitely think consistency is the biggest thing. I think growing up, it's so easy to do things for a season and then leave things for a season. And I think then growing up, serving in youth ministry and now still serving in youth ministry after graduating, I think that consistency has kept me where I am. I know where God's called me to. And, you know, consistency isn't built in a day. It isn't you just join a team for a day and then all of a sudden you're consistent, but it's about continually investing and being a part of it. And I think it was that constant investment and the consistent consistency that, if that's even a thing, that kept, that just built that resilience in me almost. And I think second to that is like mum's love for people. I think I learned at such a young age that love for people is so vital. And just seeing mum and dad out work their business and with family and friends, it was always about loving people and having people's best interested at heart. And I think I learned so much from that. And now I use that every day in my leadership with my friends, my family. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, we can clap. That's good. And now you're married. And one day I'm sure you'll be starting your own family. What principles, what principles have you learned from mum, apart from just consistency that you'd be like, yes, I need to have this instilled in my life for my kids?
I definitely think being in the house. Yeah. I think, you know, you can see so many families that are, that it may be split, you know, kids don't come to church, parents do, or even vice versa, kids come to church, parents do. But one thing that I loved about our family is that we did it as a family. It was, you know, I was born on a Friday, the following Sunday I was in church on this stage getting dedicated, and then 2 years later my brother was the exact same thing. We were in creative together. It was all as a family. And so that's something that I can't wait to one day down the track have that in my family, where it's we do it as a family. It's never separated. It's never we're serving, you can stay at home, but it's we do it together as a family and serve our God together.
Yeah, really good. It's awesome. It sounds like, Trish, from the very start, you were part of team. You're on team. What do you find the benefit in your life was of that, as like serving in the house as a part to just coming every week, attending? You could be sitting here every week, but you seem like from an early age, you had Chloe on stage at 2. Why was the big emphasis on serving? Like, why did you want everyone, your whole family to be on team, contributing to the house of God rather than just coming to the house of God?
Apart from, I grew up doing it, so it was just natural. A good analogy is if someone comes into your house, you don't just sit back and let them serve the table and them prepare the food and them get the drink. In our house, I'm preparing the food. I'm preparing the atmosphere, everything else. So in church, we do the same. Can you imagine if new people came and we were all just outside doing nothing? Because it takes people to come and to prepare, and it takes the time and the labor and the heart. But that is part of our giving. Giving's financial, but giving is also in our action and in our heart.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We don't always have the money to give, but we can give with our actions as well.
That's so good. It's really good. Thanks for that. It's so good. Chloe, before I let you go take your seats again, I know you've said you love your consistency and her love for other people. What are two words that you would use to describe your mum? If no one had met your mum before and you had two words to describe her to someone, what two words would you use?
Put me on the spot.
Yeah.
I would say loud.
Yeah.
You can hear her from
She's
a mile
always
away.
Always telling me to be quiet.
Loud and generous.
Generous.
I would say loud and generous.
Those are two great words. I really admire the legacy that's in your family. It's amazing. And even hearing about Rita and to you and now you to Chloe this morning, there's so many things even for my life I would love my family to look like yours. So many people here would love their families to look like the legacy that yours has. So thank you for sharing tonight. Really encouraging to us and all. Can we put our hands together for Trish and Chloe? Thank you guys so much. Amazing, amazing. We'll stay standing. We're going to welcome our next family. Can we welcome the Goulets to the stage? Well, Goulets minus one. Goulets minus one. We've got the... We usually hear from one of the Goulets, the boss frog, Andy Goulet. You can fit four. I'm a bit lonely over here if you want, Sam. You can come join me. No? Okay, all right. But I want to take this moment just to honour Christine because you don't even know why yet. Some people know. But I get to share the stage with greatness tonight because you may have heard of Red Frogs. And last year it reached about 1.5 million people in that who had helped. And that was started by a man called Andy Goulet. And because of what he was allowed to do, he has changed a generation. And personally, I want to thank you from me as well because he dragged my stubborn, lazy butt to church more weeks than not. He came and was at parties at 11, 12 o'clock at night with me when he had an amazing family at home. And so I really honor you and I thank you for what you've done. And I want to ask you some questions to figure out how you did it. I want to know what happened. And so let's start off. Let's hear about you first. Let's hear about your legacy. Are you a first generation Christian? Are you from a Christian family?
I am from a very Christian family. I don't know how far I can go back, but I'll go back to my grandparents. Right. Both my grandmas, my parents were brought up in godly homes in the more traditional church. My mum lost her dad when she was 13, and my dad lost his dad when he was only 5. Oh, wow. So both my grandmas were incredibly strong women who brought up 3 children post-war to love God. And in that, as much as it was a traditional church, in reading some of my dad's letters, I've just seen he had such a personal relationship with Jesus, even though he wasn't supposed to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He lived out his faith. He prayed about the little things and the big things, about meeting the right one. He put that all before he really could say he'd given his life to Jesus. Yeah. So that is my legacy. My parents, once they committed themselves to Christ, as we know, we joined this church, I would have been about 8. Been here a little while.
Yeah. 20 years or so.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah. but they were prayers and they were worshippers.
Yeah,
wow. This place is part of the legacy because they prayed this place into being. They prayed the school. You know, they sent us to school here with no sort of, at the time there was no what is now the OP. We didn't have that when we started the school, just a warehouse at West End.
Yeah.
And our parents said, do you want to go? We went, yeah, okay. but they prayed. They prayed around the school for years while they could. So my legacy is your legacy.
Yeah.
And I want to be that for my kids.
Amazing, amazing. Strong woman from a history of strong women. How has that translated in the way you've been a mum to what appears like 3 great, fully functional kids? Yeah, we're good? Yeah. One?
Because my parents were prayers, it was very much a part of our lives. We had family prayers. That was like in the morning, we all had prayers. They always, when we were younger, you know, tucked us in at night, a prayer and even a song, you know, to worship and to thank Jesus for the day.
Yeah.
It's just who we were. It was our life. And so for me, it's been a part of my guy's life that we pray, we talk to God through the day. It doesn't have to be just at church. And I think that's, I want to be what my mum and dad were to us, and that was they were there, they were present. And I would want to be that for these guys. I hope I am.
Yeah. Seems like prayer's been an amazing part of your yeah. family. What? And everyone's not in the kids going, yes, it's, we're meant to pray. What have you seen that bring about your family? Like if you're praying a lot, protection, the way they're growing up, what have you seen prayer do in their lives?
Yeah, well, protection is a big one with skaters and all sorts. That's a big one to let go and let God. But just in life, I know that if they've got issues or problems, prayer is, well, normally the first thing. Sometimes you sort of go through a whole row of, you know, all the other things, the answers you can give, but it always comes back to prayer. When they're going through stuff as little kids, if they, you know, bad dream, whatever, couldn't sleep, chicken pox, whatever, it was prayer. We pray together, we worship together. It was just, it was, because it was my parents' go-to, I think it was my go-to.
Right.
And that was, it was all I knew to do was to pray about things. So hopefully they've learnt that too, you know, that it's, that is life. That's just what life is.
Right.
Yeah.
Pray. Everyone got that?
Yeah.
Great. All right. So the meaty question I wanted to ask you was obviously, well, Pastor Andy over there was saving me. How did you manage to keep the family on the right track? How did you keep your home? How did you bring faith into that when you have a man who's so on mission? If you haven't met this man, oh, you probably have, you don't know he's been working in your life. but a man so dedicated to the cause of God, how did you outwork your faith in the family at home, all the things that you did in your ministry?
The last bit first, how do I do it in my ministry? My ministry is my family. To me, that's, and that includes Andy.
Yeah, it does.
Remember,
it definitely does.
even before, like when I was a, you know, tomboy running around, I still, and I think it's because I know my parents prayed for us and for our future partners, I prayed for whoever would be my man. And I remember, you know, just lying in bed, I guess, I don't know, I was 14 or 15, and just saying, God, will you look out for him wherever he is? And I knew that I would support my husband. I didn't know it would be quite what it is. But I'm so happy to do that. Like, that's my deal. So being able to let him go, I learned very early on. One of the big scriptures, and we share it all the time, as you know, it was shared this morning in the generosity moment, but from a slightly different version, it says, he who scatters much increases more, but he who withholds what is not right, it leads to poverty.
Wow.
And to me, that was my letting Andy go, letting him do what God has called him to do. Because if I stopped him from doing that, if I stopped him from going out at night and saving the world, a part of him would die. And I don't want to live with half of Andy. I want to live with who he is.
Amazing.
I don't want to be the one to stop.
I couldn't keep up with half of Andy. So.
That's why I stay home and go to bed.
let's hear from Sarah. The same point of view. What are some amazing things about your mum's faith did you see in action while Dad was saving the world?
Yeah, I think it can be really easy to think that that what Dad does is like is the big outworking of the Great Commission. But I think for Mum, like her outworking of the Great Commission was us, and like in building disciples that were right in front of her that God literally gifted her. And so, yeah, I think that that's how she has outworked that in her life, is building up the disciples as us as three kids. Like,
really good.
Yeah, just as Dad's doing his Great Commission, she's outworking that in her own way. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got time for one more. I want to ask each of the three kids this real quick. One thing about your mum, can be her faith or her personality, her character, whatever it is, that inspires you the most.
Yeah, Josh.
Joshy first.
I think the thing that inspires me the most is Mum's always good and willing. Like, whenever I need to go early or get picked up late, she's willing to do that. But, like, not in just the worldly things, but in the godly things, she's willing as well. And, like, I want to do that as well. So, yeah.
That inspires me the most about Mum is that she gives everything to everyone, that whoever she's talking to, she's always 100% present, like, and doesn't make them feel like she has better things to do, but she's always there with them, present in the moment. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just the way she puts up with us and our shenanigans. Her window of tolerance is pretty impressive. Lord knows it's been tested by these two clearly. As a favourite child, I would not get on her nerves, so.
Put our hands together for the Ghoulies. Thank you guys for sharing. You guys can take your seats. I think we just met a real life superwoman. I hope all the other ladies in the house don't feel insecure next to that. I think, yeah, she's a different breed. But the power of prayer in that family's life is incredible. I'd like to welcome up our last one for the night. Last mother? Pastor Adam Ryan!
Thanks, Pastor Chris. Confession time, not actually a mum.
Oh, should have told me that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a couch each, this is nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Now, yeah, it's like a therapy session.
Draw me like one of your French girls,
Jack. How does it make you feel? I'm not an artist. Sorry. Maybe some other time.
Yeah.
All right, we got 7 minutes. 7 minutes, 46 seconds. Let's go. Yeah. I want to know about your mum. So can you tell us a story? I don't want to ruin it for everyone. I'd love to hear it from your mouth. What is the story with your family? What makes your mum special?
Well, I'm one of four siblings, and we're each our own individual personalities, and I guess my mum's story is a story of two parts, and I want to kick into second parts. One morning, I remember I was in the kitchen, I'm whinging to my mum, I couldn't find my school socks, and all of a sudden, the neighbours burst through the front door, and they go, "Marguerite, Martin, my dad has just been hit by a car." And I'm standing there still with no socks, and my mum falls at my feet. She just collapsed. And while my neighbours stood there arguing about why and why they shouldn't have told mum to sit down before telling her that, I ran straight to the lounge room and ripped open the curtain doors, and I could see a crowd surrounding what I now knew was the crumpled body of my father. And so the mum that fell at my...
How old were you?
I was 9 at the time. No. So the mum that fell at my feet wasn't the mum that stood up.
Yeah, well.
So my mum had copped a devastating blow to her life. And the mum that I knew prior to that moment and the mum that we were introduced to after that moment were two completely different people. Two mums that I adored, but the mum that I met in part two of my story is why I'm so excited and privileged to be up here boasting about her in front of all my friends and family. So.
Yeah. Great. Well, tell us about those two mums.
Whew. Mum one was a very traditional sort of mum. She sort of looked after the house and did what she needed to do around the home. Kept me from burning things down as best she could. Didn't always succeed. Kept me from turning the vacuum cleaners into experiments and doing things that I probably shouldn't be doing to the dog. Like she was on it. She was looking after the family, doing the household thing. Yeah. Extraordinary mum. I was born 10 pounds 5, so the mums will understand how extraordinary she was. Basically, I was born as a 4-year-old. That's how big I was. But so that was traditional. That was the mum that we knew up to that point. After that, we saw a mum learning to deal with grief. We saw a mum who had moments of darkness. We saw a mum who, despite those, found strength to stand up. And we saw a mum that had the strength to set a standard and an example for us four little odd Ryan children to follow after. It, 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 it wasn't once she got through the situations and the darkness she was facing, it was through that. She would continually push through that to her victory and show us that no matter what we're facing in life, there's victory that we can walk into and step into that. And
So what elements about her life and her faith helped her do that? And as her son, what elements of her faith have you now mimicked or put in your own life as well?
I think my mum faced a situation as a single mum to say, how am I going to raise sons? I have a little brother as well. How am I going to raise daughters without that fatherly influence and having that male presence within the house? And she realized she couldn't. Not through a capacity thing. I'm not saying my mum didn't have the capacity to raise us alone, but she saw value in raising us in the presence of that. She saw value in placing us in a position where we could understand and see a father's heart in action. She understood the value of having a male influence in our world as well. She saw that with men and women being created in the likeness of God, she saw there were facets in her life that reflected God, but there were also facets in a man's life that reflected God. And she wanted us to get that complete picture. And she understood that raising us alone was one thing, but she understood there was a way that she could put us in a place where we could witness that other asset, that other facet of God's heart, which was a father's heart. And she found that in a church.
Yeah, well.
She dragged us along to church, whether we wanted to or not. And a lot of the time I didn't want to, but then again, I wanted my bed draped in the furs of Canadian fur seals and have ice cream for breakfast. The point of the matter is, I was 10 years old. I didn't know what I wanted.
Yeah.
Mum didn't care what I wanted. She cared what I needed. And so, whether I wanted to or not, she was dragging us to church. And I'd sit up the back of the church with my arms crossed, doing the, just try to break me, just try. So I'm
the
doing
cool
my tough, yeah.
Yep.
Doing my tough guy thing. And about three rows in front of me was this balding 40-year-old. Nothing wrong with balding. It's a good look. And he turns around, and I'm like looking at him like, stare off, weirdo. What do you take a picture? It lasts longer, you know, that sort of thing. And he just goes cross-eyed and stuck his tongue out. And as a 10, 11-year-old kid, I couldn't not smirk or laugh at this weird bald guy going cross-eyed at me. So the walls I had up, he kicked it down by simply going cross-eyed. And this guy then turned around and invited me to come out with him and a couple of guys to Macca's. And that guy later on introduced me to water skiing and taught me how to water ski. And this whole time I'm like, yeah, we get to do so much fun stuff with this guy. I didn't realize the whole time he was sneakily instilling godly principles into my life at the same time. The nerve of this guy to be actually influencing me while doing this. I couldn't believe it. And later on, I discovered that my mum had actually said, hey, my son's here today, would you mind trying to reach? She was positioning me to have these influences around my life. Not only in the physical influences of the men within the church, but she positioned me in a place where I could actually encounter God at the same time.
Yeah.
She put me in a spot where, despite how resentful I was to be there, no matter how annoying I was being as a little teenage kid, she knew that if she brought me along long enough, eventually I was going to encounter this tangible presence of God that I couldn't deny. And the fact I'm here is evidence that Mum's plan worked and
yeah.
God got me, really. So, yeah.
We're going to wrap up, but if your mum was here, if she was here, and maybe...
She's not, is she? Because I won't cope with that. I won't.
This is your life surprise. Yeah. No, she's not here. But if she was here, and maybe we can show her the video of this later, what would you tell her in thanks? What would you say was the most important part of what she did? And if she was here, what would you say to her?
I think it was, thank you for not only not giving up on yourself, but not giving up on us. She could have laid in that bed And she had every right to feel sorrowful for the hand that she was dealt. She could have laid down and taken this trauma as a life-altering event that it was. But instead she said, I have a greater cause ahead of me, and that is these four kids, and instilling in them values and principles that will take them to where I know that they're called to be. She could have laid down, she could have put her hand down, folded right then and there, but she saw a bigger picture and she saw the value in instilling these truths into us. And despite the moments where we might have gone a little wayward and did unusual things, despite her coming home and catching me playing in her makeup kit, turning myself into a zombie, despite literally burning her kitchen down, despite these things, she never gave up. And she saw a value in my life that at times I couldn't see myself. And because of that, she persisted. She continually prayed for us. She continually covered us. She continually called upon the Holy Spirit to lead us, protect us, keep us safe. And the Holy Spirit regularly dobbed on me for things I was doing out of mum's sight, which didn't appreciate. But at this time, definitely appreciate. So I'd say, mum, thanks for not giving up, and thanks for not giving up on me.
Yeah, amazing. And we are so glad that she didn't give up as well, because we love you, mate, and thank you for sharing. Put hands
mate.
Together for Pastor
Thanks,
Adam.
Guys.
You can take your seats. Such an amazing and rich heritage of families in this place who you can see their relationships are held by the glue that is God. I'm blown away as I hear the stories. As I hear the story of Trish and Rita and Chloe as well, just a heritage of faith, a heritage of prayer, people believing for one another, living the lives that God has for them. We see the incredible Goulets doing amazing things through Andy, but greater things are going to be done by his kids, I have no doubt at all, because of the prayer they pray over their kids and that God is in that family, and the amazing story as well. Thank you, Pastor Adam, for sharing that you're Your mum's amazing. She's an absolute trooper to carry on faith after going through that, having four kids, young kids, absolutely incredible. I have no doubt that a lot of these situations wouldn't happen except by the power of God in their lives.